62, C38. This explains my vision of Pinky's death as the death of the Savior and my extrapolation that when each living creature dies, it is Christ dying. I said Christ dies for them. Yes, true, but now I view it differently. The crucifixion is reenacted billions of times over and over again in and as the creatures in the ecosphere die, for Christ is the ecosphere. For me personally, to keep my sanity in the face of world suffering, I must believe, one, that it is always and only Christ who suffers throughout the ecosphere as each creature, large and small. Two, that he suffers voluntarily. Three, that his essence of sweetness and perfect spiritual and physical beauty is in no way destroyed or impaired, whatever the torment, whatever damage is done to him. His true essence cannot be debased or impaired. Four, that these truths do not make it any more right or in any sense okay because it is only and always Christ who suffers over and over again. But that in fact, five, this makes it worse. And six, God will not allow this to go on, but seven, will withdraw his spirit from the world in punishment of us unless we stop. I can't explain why I must believe all these things. 62, C40. If I did not believe all this, which my 981 vision expressed, I would today upon seeing the Agent Orange birth defects, hearing about the Soviet microtoxin T2, and hearing Sunday night about the blankets infected with smallpox sold to the Indian tribe to wipe them out, I would go crazy. Thus, the vision, which came last week, preserved my sanity as of today, 9/23/81. It is necessary for me to know that God has acted in the face of these horrors, how he has acted, and what he will do if we continue. So hallucination or divine revelation, I must believe in Tagore and his kingdom. It is my private religion, based on a wide variety of sources. Hebrew, the Day of Yahweh. Christian, the vicarious atonement sacrifice. Modern theological scientific, Teilhard. Buddhism, concern for all life, human and otherwise, equally. Hindu, Krishna, as avatar of Vishnu. The sustainer, whose three giant steps mark his stride as he comes in aid. Gnosticism, eventually the spark of light that fell into incarnation in physical shell. In this prison world, will be extricated and will return to the Pleroma. There is nothing in my syncretistic system that is original, and all elements are for me, for my sanity on this day, the autumnal equinox, essential. No one system would do, be it Yahweh, Christ, Vishnu, or Krishna. I must believe he sees and he acts. If I believed that he did not see, or did not care and hence would not act, I could not go on. The vision came in time, which itself, its coming and coming in time, is a micro-instance of God seeing and acting. Going back to the day at the movie newsreel when I was a kid, in which I saw the Japanese soldier running and burning, continuing to the rat I killed, to the TV footage of the Galapagos turtle, to the use of napalm in Vietnam today, my great spiritual problem has been to find a way I could handle the issue of suffering, human and animal. The 981 vision alluded to the burn, and hence injury to her legs suffered by my sister, that led to her death. So for me, it is evident that the ultimate problem confronting me all my life has been the senseless injury to and neglect of my sister. The 981 vision dealt with Jane, with the burning Japanese soldier, the rat and turtle, the napalm. With it all, the vision of Tagore and his kingdom is the quintessential summation of my whole life's struggle to come to terms with these matters, which are in essence one matter, showing up over and over again. Thus, my mystical experiences, starting in 63, when I saw the Palmer Eldritch visage and the sky and going on to 274, 275, and after, culminate in 981 as the payoff of my need and my attempt to forge a satisfactory explanation for what is to me the ultimate issue. Not tea to on, as my 10-volume meta-novel might indicate, but what is the total context in which the unmerited suffering and death of living creatures can be coherently understood? 62 C43. It is evident, then, that also involved in this is my own eventual death, and my need to come to grips with it. Very much the true cause of the colossal mystical breakthrough in 274. This 981 vision is perhaps, then, the great summation of the acceptance, and also anger in me regarding that. I am shown the total absolute panorama into which my own mortality fits in context. There is no feeble acquiescence to suffering and death in this vision, but there is in it a sense of absolute beauty surpassing explanation and expression. It is a given. Christ's nature, or Krishna's, if you will, names do not matter at this stage. All else is predicated on it. It is the ultimate brute datum of the vision. It simply must be accepted without explanation, as some people are content to accept the suffering, which I am not. Thus I replace one inscrutable mystery, unmerited suffering, by another, absolute beauty. Not a bad way to end up. The irreducible core of reality is beauty. 62 C48. Horse Lover Fat is real only insofar as he is a part of me, so stipulated in the letter initially, but later in the letter, as in Valis, he is treated as a real independent person, viz., Fat saw Tagore, but I did not. Fat is not imaginary, someone saw Tagore. The effect resulting is that one sense that Tagore, like Fat, is not imaginary, not a fantasy or hallucination, but, like Fat, a way of talking about myself, a further hypostasis of me, like Thomas and Fat. Yet Tagore is Lord Krishna, Christ, i.e. divine, so I now possess or reveal a saintly hypostatic identity, one which speaks for the ecosphere and also takes on the sins against the ecosphere as stigmata, punishing himself for the sins of man. Interestingly, it is in my legs that I feel pain, and my response today regarding T2 was to punish myself. I destroyed my stash and also destroyed my exegesis. Not quite as self-punishment, but more as a sacrifice. Tagore is dying. I have sensed for a while that I am dying. Yet I am not physically ill, but I become more and more tired, and where I feel it is in my legs. I feel there is so much to do, to be told in my writing, novels about Christ and Krishna and God. 62 C51. At the time when, you would think, I would be sitting back and enjoying my money and prestige, my successes, I am driven by the vision, and it is a spiritual, not merely artistic vision that is injuring me, and perhaps, in my efforts first to formulate it or receive it, and now to promulgate it, may kill me. And what do I as an individual gain? Ursula's reproach, yet even more so. I teach the parousia. I teach the sanctity of the ecosphere. I teach that once again we unknowingly crucify our God, and this time, he will not be resurrected and return. He, the total spiritual principle of the world, will be driven from the world. And this will doom us spiritually and physically both. And the decision, the power to choose, is ours if we can be made to understand. Note: the radical interconnection Dick perceived between himself and the cosmos extended to the natural world. What I have elsewhere called the ecodelic insight that we are not separable from the biosphere in which we live. In this sense, 2374 enabled Dick to look beyond the illusion of our separation from each other and the biosphere. This revelation was anything but comfortable. Ordinary consciousness is essentially predicated on this separation. When it becomes palpably false, ecstasy and panic can follow in equal measure. Even as Dick was beginning to experience a modicum of financial success, his insight into our interconnection had much greater impact on him than his growing income, so much so that he feared for his health. R.D. End note. 62 C53. Thus, the divinization of the ecosphere is tied into human choice, and hence has moral and existential significance. It is contingent on human choice. It will either be ratified by us as a species acting collectively, or it will be abolished by us as a species acting collectively. In either case, we will earn our fate, good or bad. It will not be imposed on us, but will issue from our own acts. 62 C54. This all can be looked at two ways. One, contemporary concern about preserving the ecosphere is supplied with a spiritual dimension that is both cosmic and absolute. Two, religion and the spiritual, and specifically Christianity with its eschatological doctrines, is brought down to earth, literally, and tied into realistic practical matters. Thus there emerges from this a doctrine of the final judgment being more correctly a final choice on our parts between life, spiritual life, a higher life, and death, physical death. 62 C56. Dream. On a bank of TV screens, scenes of a hunt in progress. The victim is a lovely large white bird. I become very angry at the hunt itself and at all the people watching it as a video game sport. I lash out at them, saying, "I won't watch," and I say, "Maybe Caesar will put in an appearance." This dream clearly ties in to Gore's kerygma about saving the animals, with Rome and hence with the empire and hence with early Christianity. Now, not humans are the victims of the blood sports for the populace, but animals. But it is the same cruelty. Oh, Caesar was said sardonically in reference to Reagan. Good Lord. Look then what the dream shows, at least about my feelings perception, about who is the enemy and who we are. Christianity in its time sanctifies human life, the opposite of which was the Roman games. But now all life, animal life, the ecosphere itself must be sanctified. And this is done through the investiture by Christ. To see, understand the ecosphere as having been penetrated and assimilated by Christ is to see it as holy. Thus, this third dispensation is indeed the logical extension projected from the previous two. Christ is a revolutionary, the ultimate revolutionary, and he has magical, technological powers. And he is still alive. This explains it all. 62 C57. Hypnagogic. I mail out the 85 notices. The Ed Meskes Xerox image. Marathon runners carrying the torch, two of them, picking up the torch and running in different directions, i.e., out of the 85 people, there are at least two of the right people whom I've now notified. But notified of what? Could the whole Tagore ecosphere revelation, like the dream in tears, be cipher for revolution? The ragtag motley band of believers who wrote me when I published Valis, I was thinking. Believers. Ragtag motley band. Like 2,000 years ago. There need be no underground. The event creates it, not it the event. 62 C59. I am was victimized, so to speak, by my own conspiratorial proclivities. 62 C61. Because the ecosphere is an indivisible unity, it either survives as a unitary totality or perishes as a unitary totality. It is an interconnected system. Part of it can't survive while the other part perishes. We've now reached that point, literally, where it is a global matter. And in reference to this, It has one psyche, who either stays with us or departs. And if it departs, we die, because the ecosphere dies. 62C66. But who is Tagore then? Answer: Tagore. There has to be a premise. I stipulate Tagore as the irreducible premise. Logos? Krishna? Buddha? No, Tagore. 62C68. The strangest thought came to me. If the spiritual principle has penetrated the ecosphere itself and assimilated it, we now can't turn down spiritual life, the spiritual principle, without forfeiting our literal physical lives. This is a whole new condition of the spiritual dimension. It now, so to speak, has leverage, decisive leverage. Note: here Dick extends his ecodelic insight to the population of the planet, whose spiritual and ecological destinies have now become one. This leverage, however, must be recognized and experienced if it is to have any effect. The years since Dick penned this line have been a mixture of recognition and denial. Is it still possible to tune into Vallis's ecodelic frequency? Might we receive the Vallis transmission today? R.D. End note. 62C69. An odd idea came to me tonight. My Tagore vision and kerygma seem, upon acute and prolonged examination, to issue from very ancient religious sources, both Eastern and Western. The Eastern, pan-Indian, before Buddhism and Hinduism split apart. The Western, quite old Semitic notions of the role pre-fallen man held toward the garden, when man lived with nature in harmony and was the caretaker of the garden. Thus, an idyllic primordial state is sought for. Restoration of that state depicted in Western, Near Eastern thought, but by means of pan-Indian acknowledgement of suffering as the basis of all life, and that the spiritual being suffers for and with the totality of life, the solution to which is withdrawal from the world. Yet this Eastern view is neatly balanced by an appeal to man to repent of his ways, that man brought suffering into the world and disturbed the primordial harmony, in fact, destroyed it by plundering nature and then attacking it, rather than protecting and guarding it. If man is the cause, man can, by changing his ways, repair what he has done and restore the original harmony. What is to be done is a Western view. How man will be induced to change his ways and do this is Eastern. 62C74. Dream, hypnagogic. I have a wound on my leg, a vast vagina-like healing wound, like a slit. A voice is saying, "Lasimi." With a start, I wake up fully. This is Tagore's wound. And I realize now, Amfortas's, and by extension, Christ's, from the spear. I have achieved spirituality, the Buddha or Christos state. But by sacrificing myself, physically injuring myself to the point where death is now a real possibility, this says it all. The spiritual element would not die. It would simply ascend out of this world back to its origin and home. But Tagore, my spiritual self, begs for an end to the inflicting of these burns, which, I repeat, I have taken on voluntarily by identifying myself with all life and the suffering of all creatures. It will not end by my ceasing to take on these stigmata. That is not what Tagore pleads for. Tagore pleads for an end of the crimes against life, not my life, but other lives, that result in these voluntarily assumed burns. Tagore, myself, he is crippled now, and yet he emits an ineffable beauty, absolute, not relative, loving beauty, like music and perfume and colors. Tagore, my spiritual self, could cease at any time this voluntary taking on of the injuries, but he will not. He will die first, to repeat, It is the injuries that must stop, not his taking on of these injuries. Agent Orange and T2. The day I typed up the Xerox letter, wounded and in pain, and in mortal peril, cries out for our help. The spiritual element in me, making my last appeal.